number 7, Stan Phillips. Hey, happy hump day, Met fans. How are we all doing? You got to be feeling good about yesterday's game. If you were watching on SNY, it was a delight. Pitching came through big time, and no pitcher came through bigger than Jacob DeGrom. Everyone's a little apprehensive, thinking he may not be ready, he may be hurt, he may be fragile, but he looked like the old Jake for 2 innings in that game yesterday. Unbelievable. And right off the bat, he was throwing the ball at 98 miles an hour. I don't think he hit 100 all night. He was around the 96 to 98 mark. So, yeah, Jake was holding back. It's pretty good. You're a pretty good pitcher when you're holding back at 96, 98, isn't it? And the first batter that faced him, Chaz McCormick, struck out. And if there was any question about whether DeGrom might be rusty, he answered it by striking out the side in the first inning on 15 pitches. 11 of them which were strikes, relying on a fastball, and he did throw in a couple sliders, but it sure was good. It's like we never missed a beat. We got Jake back. Yep, the same Jake that dominated baseball in the first half of last year. Now, he did allow a leadoff double to Lewis Brinson, and you got to give Brinson credit. He has struggled in the major leagues. He's really not hitting that well, and very few people hit DeGrom's high cheese. But Brinson got around on it and smacked it down the left field line. So that was amazing. And it just goes to prove in baseball, you never know. Anything can happen in the great game of baseball. But then after that, DeGrom went back to being DeGrom. And he retired 3 hitters in a row, 2 of which came via the strikeout. Now, Buck Showalter said before the game that DeGrom would likely go 2 innings. And that's exactly what the ace did on Tuesday. He didn't do a Scherzer. Scherzer's appearance on Monday was almost like a freak of nature, pitching 5 innings and 72 pitches first time out. But let's talk about Jake, shall we? He allowed just 1 hit while striking out 5. And 24 of DeGrom's 30 pitches were strikes. And he topped out at 99 with his fastball. So that made my day. I didn't even have to see the rest of the game, and though I sat through the rest of the game. And one of the reasons, like I always say, I sit through the games is just, you want to see the guys like Alvarez got to play again, Beatty got to play again. But as long as Keith, Gary, and Ron are doing the game, they're entertaining. And even Steve Gelbs had 3 interviews, which were pretty damn good. That's the one thing I like about spring training is these in-the-dugout interviews that Steve does. It lets you know who the personalities are, and we'll get to those later on. But let's get back to the game for a second. Adam Ottavino made his Met debut, and he pitched a scoreless frame and struck out 1 hitter. And the Mets used a little small ball and a little luck to score the game's first run in the 5th after singles from Dom Smith and Nick Meyer. Now, Nick Meyer was the catcher who came in to replace Thomas Nito, if you're not familiar with him. Both runners advanced on a fly ball to center field. Now, with runners at 2nd and 3rd and 1 out, Francisco Lindor's high chopper to shortstop couldn't be handled, scoring Smith. I'm not sure if they would have had a play at the plate, but it didn't matter at that point because the play was kind of rushed. And then Jeff McNeil followed that with a line drive sack fly to right to make it a 2-0 ball game. And I was so encouraged because McNeil hit 2 balls hard to the outfield on the fly tonight. And that's encouraging. Now, last year, he was so psyched out by the shift, and he was grounding out a lot. So it's good to see Jeff with the stroke, because when he hits the ball, either a line drive or up in the air, he is ferocious. Now, the Mets scored their pair of runs with only 2 hits in the inning. So, again, small ball, 1 out. And with the pitching the Mets are going to have this year, we don't need to have 7-run games all the time. We just need to win the games when our pitchers are pitching very well, like DeGrom. Ask Jake DeGrom all the misery and pain he suffered through the years. Now, highly touted prospect Francisco Alvarez, and that's the guy I just want to see all the time, him and Beatty. He checked into the game behind a plate in the seventh inning, and he worked a five-pitch walk in the bottom of the seventh. I was almost booing at the TV screen. Throw a pitch. Let him hit it. But he did get it. And big-time prospect Brett Beatty, and I saw him in the Arizona Instructional League. They were televising some of the games on MLB Network, and he was hitting rope after rope. But he went down looking on three pitches. But, you know, him, believe me, these guys are going to hit. They just didn't do it tonight. But so overall, it was a pretty great night for the Mets pitching. DeGrom, Ottavino, Trevor Williams, Alex Claudio. He throws painstakingly slow. He's not really a power pitcher, but he is effective. Jose Rodriguez, Steve Nogosek, and Rob. Now, I forget how you pronounce his name. Rob Zastrini. He struck out the side. And the good news is you add all that up, all these pitchers in there, add up what they did, and you came up with a three-hitter striking out 14. So that was fantastic. It was good seeing that. Now, the Astros, of course, were on the road, and they didn't take their hitters. They only had two regulars in the lineup. But, you know, all these guys are professional hitters regardless. So I was very encouraged by the pitching performance by the Mets. Now, the Mets have an off day, and, like, you know, it's not really going to be an off day. They'll be working these players on the fundies, as Keith would say, and having everyone work out. So you don't always have to play a game every day, so I'm not concerned about that. But Thursday, they'll be back in action against the Marlins at 6:10. Kind of like these 6:10 games. You know, you eat dinner and then you check out the Metsies, right? Pitching for the Mets looks like it's going to be Carlos Carrasco. I think he's going to be second in the rotation, and number one will be Chris Bassitt. So it should be a fun night Tuesday, without a doubt. Now let's get back to Jacob DeGrom. Now, Jacob DeGrom is as good as they come, and just proves that even the great ones are nervous. And DeGrom said he was a little bit nervous in the spring debut. On TV, he had a little, like, smile on his face and everything, but a pro is a pro, and if you're not nervous, that's not a good thing. And it looked like he was very pleased about his performance. And like I said, this was his first go-around since July 7, 2021. And he took the mound, and like I said, he never missed a beat. And I granted it was a spring training game, but just seeing DeGrom dazzle for two shutout innings, striking out five, and he threw 30 pitches even though he struck out five batters. He only threw 30 pitches. Like I said, he topped out at 99 on his fastball and showcased his usual pinpoint command. Now, the two-time Cy Young Award winner looked completely in control as he overpowered the Astro hitters. And after the game, he admitted he had some nerves, and he took the mound for the first time in over 8 months. But it's like riding a bicycle for Jake. Once you learn how to do it, you're not going to forget. You know, I guess when you're facing your teammates, you're more relaxed. There isn't the pressure of a game situation in there, even though you're playing like simulated games. So it was good to see him against another team today and going out there and doing his thing. DeGrom was saying that during the offseason, he was basically just trying to locate the ball pretty well, and he was happy with the way things went. But what a year he had last year. I can't help but thinking back to it. He was well on his way towards an historic season in 2021, posting a 1.08 ERA over his first 15 starts before tightness in his right elbow shut him down. But he came out of Tuesday's spring debut feeling perfectly healthy, while also understanding the team's decision to hold him to two innings in the first action of the year. And it's reassuring to go out there and for him to go out there and coming out of the game feeling fine. And he's got a great pitching coach. I'm a big fan of Jeremy Hefner. And Jeremy Hefner is going to do what it takes to get DeGrom in the right frame of mind, both throwing physically and mentally. Now, you wonder if the lockout and the delaying of spring training hurt DeGrom at all, but it looks like he was ready. He was ready today, and he's ready to face live hitters. And he will be opening the season April 7th against the Washington Nationals on a road game. And quite frankly, I can't wait for the season to start. At this point, he probably would have thrown in three games already. So it's totally different when someone steps in the box versus throwing bullpens. But he looks good. He feels good. And my friends, I am confident Jake is going to be back this year. Now, there was some good news coming out of Met camp today regarding Starling Marte. He's been dealing with a weak soreness, and it's prevented him from playing this spring. But he took another step forward in his recovery on Monday. And he was hitting off a tee on Monday. And that was an encouraging sign, because that's the one thing he really couldn't do was hit. And he expects that if there are no setbacks, he should have a chance for opening day. And that is encouraging, because I want to see Marte. I'm watching the Mets over the years and watching him as an opponent. He was a great ball player. And I watched the Yankees, too, like when he was in the American League. So it's just fun. It's going to be a fun outfield. I wasn't really that familiar with Mark Canha, but I like his team player concept. And they mentioned, like, what a great on-base percentage he has had, like, in the last 5 years. And that's amazing. So you add all that together, and we're going to have a good outfielder in Canha. And Dom Smith will be out there and left. So we're going to have a good outfield. I just don't think it's necessary to sign Michael Conforto right now. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking with it. At first, I wanted Conforto to kind of come back, but not anymore. And as always, the Met broadcast crew was on fire. And the one thing I liked was when they were showing the great pitching years, like DeGrom's great first half compared to other pitchers who had great first halves and how they finished. Bob Gibson in 68 and Dwight Gooden in 85, their ERAs actually went down after they had fantastic starts in the first half of their great seasons, historic seasons. So I think DeGrom had the potential to keep on pitching the way he was last year. The only one who went slightly up was Pedro Martinez, but not much. Maybe like 0.2 runs, if I recall correctly. So when a pitcher's having a great year like that and they're that talented, they usually stick with it the whole year. So it kind of like, you get a little frustrated, because I say the end of the Mets season was when DeGrom went down. But let's not even worry about that anymore. And then what made me laugh was when they showed a shot of Scherzer and DeGrom in the dugout. And Keith Hernandez says, "Met fans, you're allowed to get so excited over that shot." And Keith said he was. And I think he speaks for all of us. Keith's a Met fan, let's face it. When you follow the team every day like he does and broadcast the games, you can't help but become a fan. And he's right. We can't wait to look forward to Scherzer and DeGrom. Now, it's funny, like, the big controversy is, like, Steve Cohen is saying everything. You know, they have the bullpens on the sidelines, and he goes, that's a dangerous thing with players possibly getting hurt. Well, how about when Pete Alonso got interfered with on a bullpen foul territory ball? One of the Astros pitchers was down there and got in the way of Alonso getting the ball, and I have never seen this before. The pitcher was actually called interference, and Alonso was credited with catching a foul pop-up, even though he didn't catch the ball. So it's the old adage. You never know what you're going to see in a baseball game. You can see something new every day, and that is the first time I've seen interference on a foul ball down the outfield line where an opposing pitcher was just standing there while the pitchers were warming up. Now, one of the main reasons for that is I don't even know if there's any teams that still warm up on the sidelines. I know the Cubs were doing it at Wrigley. And I remember as a kid going to Veterans Stadium when it first opened up, some of the pitchers would warm up on the first base line. But I don't even know if any teams do that anymore. Maybe you guys can help me out with that. And it was funny when this kid Solomon came in to the game for the Astros. He was warming up in the bullpen. And I said, holy shit, he looks like Ron Darling, a young Ron Darling. And no more than 10 seconds later, Keith Hernandez goes, hey, there's a Ron Darling lookalike, a young Ron Darling lookalike. I said, wow, brilliant minds think alike. I don't know what that has to do with me, but Keith is a brilliant mind, and he picked up on that right away. And it was another funny story with when they were talking about Mike Puma taking that picture at DeGrom. If you saw the picture, you know what I'm talking about. And Keith is saying, well, it doesn't surprise me that Mike Puma is a Post writer, by the way, for those of you not familiar or not from the area, for the New York Post. And Not surprising to find Mike Puma in a pizza shop, and I just had a laugh. It was funny. Keith at his best. And speaking of best, Steve Gilbs had a fantastic interview with Mike Piazza. And Mike Piazza went into detail about how Steve Cohen is making sure that this team actually has tradition, has the old players coming back, a sense of greatness from the Met past history being spread to the other teams. And then Keith Hernandez even gave another story about Buck Showalter driving him around in a golf cart, introducing Keith to all the players. And not only just the players like in the rosters or the top prospects, but even guys who are on the low level. So they're trying to present that Met image and history and lineage, and you gotta love it. And Piazza was so happy that they're retiring Keith's number, having Old Timers Day, the Seaver dedication statue. Piazza even said he saw the statue, took a picture of it, but he had to destroy it so his camera didn't get hacked. So it's out there, and we'll all see it on opening day, and that is going to be fun. It really is. But what are you going to do? Another funny story was Keith was saying, like, on the road, he would sleep till 12 o'clock and watch All My Children. And now he goes, he'd be scorned upon because half these modern ball players are at the ballpark at 12 o'clock for night games now. I did like Trevor Williams. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to do well both out of the bullpen and not going to be a dominant factor in the Met pitching staff, but he'll be able to fit both roles. And one thing I like about Trevor Williams is he lets you hit the ball. He was just throwing, he threw a lot of pitches today and a lot of balls. He just has to fine tune that. But he's a guy that can get you innings. He's not going to be the ace of your staff, but he will help you out tremendously. And like I said, it's just good watching these players every day. Even Brandon Nimmo was like saying how there really isn't any, another great interview with Steve Gelbs. Nimmo was talking about how no one really thinks they're like a superstar in the locker room. How it's basically a team first attitude. And he, it was funny. He was even watching Robbie Cano because he says Robbie Cano is one of the best swings around and was checking him out. So there is good chemistry and good character on this Met team. And that, don't underestimate that. That goes a long way. Now it's time to wish a happy birthday to Mike Remlinger, former Met lefty, and former righty out of the bullpen, Dellin Patansis. Happy birthday to those two fine young gentlemen. Now let's get to our Jeopardy and trivia question of the day, shall we? Yes, we shall. Today's Met trivia question is, what Mets player started his MLB career striking out a record 8 straight times? And now for today's Mets baseball Jeopardy. Who's ready? Going to give you two clues. Pitching for the Mets in 1991, he made 42 appearances in his rookie season and went 2-3 with a 5.19 ERA in 60 2/3 innings. He allowed 55 hits and 19 walks while striking out 38 batters. Now, he was traded by the New York Mets to the Montreal Expos in exchange for Rob Katsaroff on April 2nd, 1992. So there you go. Lock in your answers. We'll be back at the end of the podcast to tell you how you did. So, good luck, folks. Now let's talk about the career of former Met Mike Remlinger. Remlinger was a promising rookie for the San Francisco Giants when he was traded on December 11, 1991, along with former National League Most Valuable Player Kevin Mitchell to the Seattle Mariners for Mike Jackson, Bill Swift, and Dave Burba. That was a big trade at the time. Now, at when he was traded, Remlinger had already played for the Mets and Reds before landing with the Braves, where he became a valuable member of their bullpen and making the National League All-Star team in 2002. He became a very durable relief pitcher late in his career as he pitched in 70 more games for 5 straight seasons from 1999 to 2003, and he could throw the ball past you. He had 398 batters struck out in 368 innings during this period. Now, in his 16-season career, Remlinger compiled a 53-54 record with 3.89 ERA and 20 saves in 634 games. And something else to note was he pitched a three-hit shutout in his first major league start against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So he had a pretty good distinguished career. Not necessarily noteworthy one with the Mets, but like I always say, once a Met, always a Met. And let's look at Mike Remlinger's numbers with the Mets, shall we? He did pitch for us in 1994 and 95. Total appearances all told were 15 altogether. Like I said, nothing spectacular. ERA of 4.61 in 94 and 6.35 ERA with the Mets in 95. So once he left the Mets, he found his pitching groove and became a good pitcher. But Mike Remlinger was a Met, and those were the lean years for the Mets, if you recall. So if you remember Mike Remlinger, you're a good Met fan. Now let's talk about Dellin Betances. He was a big cog in the Yankee bullpen for a few years there, from 2014 or so to what, 2019 is when he became a Met. And on Christmas Eve, December 2019, Betances signed a one-year deal with the Mets. In 2020 for the Mets, he struggled. He had it rough. Across 15 games, he registered a 7.71 ERA with 11 strikeouts and 11.2 innings of work. And then on April 8th, 2021, Betances was placed on the 10-day injury list with a right shoulder impingement, the second in his career. And then he was transferred to the 60-day injured list. And then June 30th, it was announced that Betances would undergo season-ending surgery on his bothersome shoulder, ending his 2021 season at one inning of work. So things didn't work out too well for the Mets when it came to Dellin Betances, but he did have one hell of a Yankee career, didn't he? Gotta give credit where credit is due. Now let's talk about what's going on in the greatest baseball group there is for New York Met fans, New York Mets Baseball Way of Life. If you're not a member, please do join. We have great content, great people contributing stuff every day. You'll enjoy it. It's a potpourri of Met fun and information. And if you're not a subscriber to this podcast, by all means, please do subscribe. We do one a day during the season, so you won't want to miss it. And you'll be alerted when one is up on your favorite podcast carrier. We really do appreciate you listening. Now, what is going on in the group? We were talking about the last game at Shea, and Shea it ain't so. As the Mets brought down the curtain on another horrible season. Well, it ended horrible. It was a good season. Then we had a picture of Tom Seaver and Jerry Grody, and I said, that's my all-time favorite Met battery. We kind of gave an answer away to a future trivia question when we noted that Jack Fisher threw the first pitch at Shea Stadium on April 17th, 1964. We asked who had that Tom Glavine, that was bobblehead that was given away by State Farm. Another great picture of Gil Hodges and Tommy Agee. A cover of the commemorative program they gave away on the 50th anniversary of Jackie Robinson's celebration. And isn't it ironic that the 75th will be opening day at Citi Field? Isn't that going to be great, folks? You bet it is. And then we also noted on this day in 1978, the Mets dealt an unhappy 33-year-old Bud Harrelson, who lost his starting job when the team obtained Tim Foley from the Giants to Philadelphia for approximately $50,000 and minor league call-up Freddie Andrews, an infielder who will never play another game in the major leagues. As an 11-year veteran, the fan-favorite shortstop could have vetoed the trade but chose to go to Philadelphia to play for a contending team where he will back up Larry Boa. Then we showed the clip, Daily News, front and back page, that Game 3 NLCS when all hell broke loose. Yep, that we did. And you got to check it out. Not going to give away everything. You need to join the group. And our good friend Mike Fried, who always keeps us abreast of news that would be of interest to the Mets fans, noted that Juan Soto settled at before arbitration at $17.1 million for his first contract.
One Jacob DeGrom put together arguably.
Mike had a good feelings, good opinions, I should say, on the latest Major League rule decisions, the Otani rule, the ghost runner, and the doubleheader. And you got to check out what he had to say, because I agreed with everything he said. And then we did a poll. Do you guys want to see a game day thread? Where we'll just post a thread for that day's given game. And everyone can comment before the game, during the game, and after. And guess what? It was unanimous. 100% of you wanted that poll. So we're going to be doing it. And more good news was Pete Alonso is in agreement on a one-year $7.4 million contract. And he avoided arbitration. And that's beautiful. And from what I heard, 13 out of 14 Mets that were eligible for arbitration coming in today actually settled on a contract. On the broadcast, they mentioned Chris Bassitt was the only one who hadn't. And I'm not sure what's going to happen before that deadline. Maybe he'll settle too. But we'll see. Like I said, a lot of good things. Like I said, everyone's joining in this group. Our latest, Dwight Gooden, we want to thank the doctor. We want him to feel at home. And guys, please make him feel at home. And that's going to wrap it up as far as what's going on in the group. If you ever need to reach me personally, I'm at philstan41@gmail.com. Yes, philstan41@gmail.com. Now, the 41 part of the email address, I think you guys know why I have 41 in there. Those who know me know. Now we're going to go back to the trivia and Jeopardy answers for today, because that's what we do. Once again, we'll give the Jeopardy first. We'll mix it up. The clues were pitching for the Mets in 1991. He made 42 appearances in his rookie season and went 2-3 with a 5.199 ERA. In 16 two-third innings, he allowed 55 hits and 19 walks while striking out 38 batters. The second clue was traded by the Mets to the Expos in exchange for Rob Katsaroff on April 2nd, 1992. Well, the correct answer to this one, my friends, is Doug Simons. Doug Simons. A little tongue-tied here. I need something to drink. The answer is, who is Doug Simons? And Jason Lynch came through with the correct answer today.
Probably the greatest.
Here we go, Jason. Jason's one of our most knowledgeable Met fans in the group. Really is. Great guy. And the trivia question. What Met player started his MLB career striking out a record straight 8 times? Well, that's Khalil Lee. And guess who got that one right? Yes, Jason Lynch. So it was a perfect 2-for-2. Jason swept the board. So good job again, Jason. Your knowledge really impresses me and everyone in the group. And that's about it. We're going to call it a wrap. Thanks again for listening. It means the world to me, as I always say, and I do mean it. We'll be back tomorrow. There is no game tomorrow. No game tomorrow. So we'll have a lot of other stuff to talk about, as we always do. So please do check in tomorrow. And again, enjoy your hump day, your Wednesday. And we're, 15 days away from opening day? I don't even know. What, 3 weeks and a day away from opening day? We're 15 days away from opening day. So it's going to be here before you know it. And we're going to have fun talking about it. So check back tomorrow. Enjoy your day. And let's go Mets.
Meet the Mets, step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really sucking the ball. Knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody's coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New and the people on the streets. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! Oh, they're hollering, they're cheering, and they're jumping in their seats. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! All the fans are true to the orange and blue, so hurry up and come on down, 'cause we got ourselves a ball club, the Mets of New York Town. Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really something to fall.